This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.MuslimCentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillahi khaliqil wujudi min al-adam wa ja'ili nuri min al-zulam wa mukhrij al-sabri min al-alam wa mulqi al-tawbati ala al-nadam. فنشكره على المصائب كما نشكره على النعم ونصلي على رسوله الأكرم الشرف الأشم والنور الأتم والكتاب المحكم وكمال النبيين والخاتم سيد ولد آدم الذي بشر به عيسى بن مريم ودعا لبعثته إبراهيم عليه السلام حين كان يرفع قواعد بيت الله المحرم فصلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى أتباعه خير الأمم الذين بارك الله بهم كافة الناس العرب منهم والعجم الحمد لله الذي لم يتخذ ولدا ولم يكن له شريك في الملك ولم يكن له ولي من الذل وكبره تكبيرا الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدًا عبد الله ورسوله أرسله الله تعالى بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا وصلى الله عليه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وإن شر الأمور محدثاتها وإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم على لسان موسى وتلك نعمة تمنها علي أن عبدت بني إسرائيل قال فرعون وما رب العالمين قال رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما إن كنتم موقنين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي اللهم ثبتنا عند الموت بلا إله إلا الله اللهم اجعلنا من الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر آمين يا رب العالمين. As I continue this series that is based on the dialogue that takes place between Musa alayhi salam and Fir'aun, and really from a particular angle, the angle from which we can learn to not only understand how to recuperate after being in a traumatic situation, but also to deal with high intensity situations and confrontational situations in a way that is not only healthy for us but also inspired by Allah's guidance. That's the sort of motivation behind this. So my intention for all of you that are listening, and even for myself, is to take this reminder from this remarkable legacy of Musa alayhi salam that's been captured in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, and apply some of these wisdoms and some of this counsel for our own lives, to really identify in ourselves some of our thought process and some of our behavior and some of our communication, and improve it for the better for ourselves and for those that are around us. So here, I'm going to start with something on the positive side. It's kind of a combination of positive and negative. Last time I spoke about, how he has to acknowledge his own flaw, but he also has, that doesn't mean that it dismisses him from saying the right thing. Now we're going to pick up on that saying the right thing component and build on it a little bit further. And that is that he has to say something rather offensive, because when you correct someone who is doing or saying something wrong, when you correct someone, then by definition, you are being offensive. Being offensive is part of being truthful. You cannot be truthful and not be offensive, actually. Okay, so there's no such thing as the truth being spoken without someone being hurt or without someone being offended. That comes with it. So when we say, for example, we should be mindful of the feelings of others, we confuse two different things. And I've talked about this in previous talks, but I want to simplify it this time so it sticks in your head, inshallah, in my own. There are two dimensions of communication: what is being said and how it's being said, right? So it could be something simple like, it's cold outside, close the window. Something simple. That's what is being said. It's cold outside, close the window. But you can also say it like, it's cold outside, close the window. You said the same exact thing. It's the same words from the same dictionary. They mean the same things, what has been said has not changed at all, but the way you said it just became offensive, right? You just became hurtful. So the thing is, our religion teaches us the how and the what. And the how cannot be offensive. The how cannot, you cannot take an angry tone, raise your voice. You know, when we went through the series on Surah Luqman, you know, وَغْضُضْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ, keep your voice low. The Prophet ﷺ is telling us to control our temper, control our anger. There's an ethic and a communication in how we speak. That is always there. While that is there, when I have to say something that is true, it can still be offensive no matter how respectful I am. So I have to say the right thing. I'm obligated to say the right thing. And I know that it will be offensive. So here's this is a little bit tricky, and I hope I'm able to get this across to all of you. And again, remind myself of it, is that sometimes we say the truth. So you want to say something that's true. And you figure because it's true, it gives you the right to be offensive in the way you say it too. Right? It's the truth. You need to hear it. Yeah, it is the truth, but I don't need to hear it like this. So just because something is true doesn't allow me to use inappropriate styles of communication to get that truth across. So the communication must remain respectful, direct, purposeful. It has to remain those things. The communication cannot steer away from the truth itself and you add some other things on top of it like insults. You can't do that. You have to stick to the truth. Let me give you a realistic example. You're having an argument with a family member, right? And there's something true you wanted to say to them. The way you should not have transferred those funds, those were not your funds, something. Some financial issue, right? Uncle, you should not have transferred those funds. Those were not your funds to transfer. He starts getting angry, losing his mind, starts yelling at you. Who are you? I filed for your immigration papers. You're going to talk to me like this. And he starts insulting you and starts berating you. At that point, because they're being offensive, you want to be offensive right back. No, actually, at that point, you need to hold on to the fact that what you said was truthful, and you said it in a respectful way, in a direct way. Clearly, it was offensive because truth is pretty much always offensive. If it matters, it's going to be offensive. But it won't allow you to also now raise your voice and respond in kind. Oh, yeah, well, what about you? And you remember, no. You can't go down that road. You have to stick with the truth itself. This is all coming from what we're dealing with, what we're looking at in the narrative of Musa alayhi salam. Fir'aun tried to psychologically manipulate him, shame him by saying that you're an ingrate, by saying you lived here your entire life. How can you speak this way? Musa alayhi salam has a truth he has to deliver. And the truth he has to deliver is that the Israelites have been unjustifiably made slaves. So he says this. He says, وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمُنُّهَا عَلَيَّ أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. That is in fact a favor you did for me, justifying that you enslaved the Israelites. He's basically highlighting that I am saying something rational. And even though what you brought up is true, I am grateful for you having raised me. It doesn't change the fact that I have a truth that is still offensive to bring. These two things will stand together. These are both, and one is not a substitute for the other. This is a pretty courageous thing to do, to speak to somebody knowing that they're going to get offended and still stick to your guns and say what is coherent and consistent and say something that makes sense and purposeful. This is actually, it takes a great deal of confidence to do that. And this is an act of confidence also. And we're gonna dig into confidence more, because confidence is one of the most fundamental qualities a human being needs just in life and also in this faith. That one of the core personal traits that Islam and the Quran puts inside of a believer is actually confidence. We have this confidence that Allah is with us. And when we feel that support, when we have that support, that spiritual support system, it makes us confident in practically any situation in life. Musa alayhi salam, a convict from the Egyptian legal standpoint, is, you know, confidently speaking to the most powerful, you know, military and political ruler and figure on earth at the time.
And he's standing there with confidence calling him out, right? This is an act of profound confidence. So he says, وَتِلْكَ نِعْمَةٌ تَمَنُّهَا عَلَيَّا أَنْ عَبَّدْتَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ. And what I want to highlight to you now is a something that can destroy confidence. So he said something, he was coherent, he was logical, and now the Pharaoh is going to respond in what I can, you can look at it in psychological terms as dismissiveness. Okay. So it's, he says, قَالَ وَقَالَ فِرْعَوْنُ وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The Pharaoh said, what master of all nations? Now, Musa alayhi salam came to him to say, you know, inna rasula rabbil alameen. We are inna rasulu rabbil alameen. We are both, meaning Harun and I both, have come as messengers of the master of all nations. So the master of all nations is a who, right? Who is the master of all nations? Look at the Pharaoh's condescending question. What master of all nations? He didn't say who is the master of all nations. Who is Rabbul Alameen? He said, Ma Rabbul Alameen. What master of all nations? In other words, he's dismissing the whole point. What are you talking about? This is the modern equivalent of, you know, the ancient equivalent of what we say in modern times, like, what are you talking about? What? Huh? Get out of here. This is dismissiveness. You will bring something with confidence, with substance, something that matters. And people that are able to make you feel worthless in a split second can act like what you said is so illogical and so not worthy of a response that they can turn it into what? Just a what? What are you talking about? What God? Just this, that little can make you feel like you're worth nothing. You start questioning yourself, like, did I say something wrong? Do I need to rethink my position? Maybe, you know, I'm not convincing enough. Maybe I'm not enough. Maybe what I have to say isn't enough. All of this is to throw you off your game. And this dismissiveness is a very powerful tactic in life. There are people that you need to talk to about something really important. We need to discuss this. You need to address this wrong that you're doing. And they'll say, we're not talking about this. What are you talking about? No. Ignore it. Walk away. I'm watching TV right now. Listen, I have work today, later in about 5 hours. Don't stress me out right now. What? Now? Again? Oh, you want to talk about this again? Get out. Leave it alone already. In other words, and they can, by the way, some people can do this for years. They can spend decades ignoring one thing. And the funny thing is they'll turn around and say, oh, you keep wanting to talk about that. Why do you keep wanting? Because you've never talked about it. You've actually never talked about it. You've kicked the can down the road every time. You've never addressed it. That's why it keeps coming up. If it was actually addressed, it would never come up again, right? So their way of dismissal, the dismissal comes in different forms. It comes in the form of making you feel like you said something ridiculous, even though you didn't. It makes it, it can come across as, why are you even wasting my time with this? Don't bother me with this. I have more important things to do. And this is exactly what Musa alayhi salam is being made to feel. He's being made to feel like he stands on no ground and he's wasting the king's time. So he says, وَمَا رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. But here's where confidence, when you know from your Rabb, you know, this is Burhanun min Rabbina. When we have evidence from our master, when Allah's word has given you confidence that what you're saying is true, what you're saying is the right thing, it is the truth, then it doesn't matter who dismisses it. Whether it's a loved one or someone who hates you, whether it's someone who has influence or doesn't have influence, someone who's intimidating or not intimidating, there, that bullying tactic and that dismissing tactic doesn't work. And it doesn't work on Musa alayhi salam. He's able to fight through it. And what does he say? He says, رَبُّ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا إِن كُنْتُم مُقِنِينَ. The master of the skies and the earth and everything in between them. You see, this is really important. The Pharaoh, Fir'aun, did not ask, tell me more about Rabbul Alameen. He didn't actually ask that. What he said was a way of dismissing and tossing away the conversation altogether. Getting rid of the conversation altogether. Musa alayhi salam is responding as though that what God, what Rabbul Alameen, wasn't sarcastic, it was actually literal. Even though Musa alayhi salam is very keenly aware that he's being sarcastic. It's rhetorically dismissive. That's what he's doing. But he, just like he's being dismissive of Musa alayhi salam, Musa alayhi salam learns, or teaches us here that you can be dismissive of someone's dismissiveness. It's genius, actually. He's pretending that what he says did not get dismissed. In fact, it got asked about, and he will continue to articulate what he has to say. He's not going to fall into the psychological game where he feels like there's no more room for him to say what he needed to say. But yet at the same time, he's not getting offended. This is the key for you and me to learn. He's like, what do you mean, what? You think what I'm saying isn't important? Now you see, you just got emotional. You're not speaking the truth now. The how is emotional. The how needs to stay calm and cool, collected. And he stays calm, he stays cool, and he responds methodically and says, the master of the skies and the earth. Since you're asking, I'll describe Allah some more. Because the first description was Rabbil Alameen. Now the next description is the master of the skies and the earth, which is actually systematically really important because there's a progression in the argument. The pharaohs believed that they were children of God, and they believed that their God was the sun, Ra, the sun god Ra, and they were children of the sun god on this earth. When Musa alayhi salam says, the master of the skies and the earth, he's actually challenging the worldview, the false worldview. He's actually furthering his logical argument about Allah himself. And in it, he's actually crushing the myth that they believe in by saying Rabbus samawati wal ard wa ma baynahuma, and everything in between. What is everything in between? The sky, the sun is in between the skies and the earth. And the people are between the skies and the earth. So you who think you're divine and you think your divinity comes from there, none of this is divine. I speak on behalf of the actual divinity. Rabbus samawati wal ard wa ma baynahuma. But then Musa alayhi salam adds yet another dimension to this, and this is again a show of confidence. More often, so much of what we say is determined by the thought that comes on to us is, who's listening? What is their reaction going to be? What are they going to think when they hear what I have to say? The opinions of others have a huge bearing on what we say. You know, this is studied in social psychology. Right, the way you behave, the way you sit, even the way the intonation of your speech can change because of the effect of someone walking in. Many of you that are in school or college or university now, and you remember your days in school, college, university, when a teacher picks on you to answer a question, you're not just concerned about the question that got asked. You're having a nervous wreck inside because all the kids are looking at you, the teacher's looking at you. If you get this wrong, everybody's going to laugh. He's going to get upset. There's a social anxiety that came with having to say something publicly. You understand? Which is, again, something that's the opposite of confidence, right? It's something that we fear inside of us, ourselves, the shaming or the humiliating judgment of others. They will see me as inferior, depending on what I say, right? So Musa alayhi salam is no longer concerned about what someone else thinks of me based on what I have to say. Why not? Why was he able to shed that social anxiety off of him? He was able to shed that social anxiety because when you have the truth from Allah, then the only one you ever had to impress and the only one whose judgment you had to worry about is Allah's. And everybody else's judgment became irrelevant. Which is why it's okay for him to come and speak a truth which he knows will be offensive to his father figure, because it's in the pleasure of Allah, even if it's in the offense of someone else. And now there are also courtiers. There's not just Fir'aun, it's his generals, it's the other soldiers, it's a full king's court. There are people inside that room. And Musa alayhi salam is so confident now that he can actually not only feel dismissed by Fir'aun, he takes a further step and says, since you're being dismissive of something that is reasonable, maybe you're not capable of thinking because you're so addicted to dismissing things you don't want to hear. It's blocking your ability to think clearly. I wonder if other people in this audience have a better ability to think than you do. I wonder if I could see that the president is incredibly stupid. I wonder if the rest of the administration lost their brain cells too. And so he's so confident that he's able to not only dismiss the dismissal of Fir'aun, now he's going to dismiss Fir'aun himself and say, in kuntum muqineen, if in fact all of you are ready to be convinced. If in fact, so he's talking the plural, muqineen, una'ina, right? It's the khabar of kuntum here. Muqineen means if all of you are in fact ready to be convinced, or you have conviction inside of you, then perhaps I should be talking to you instead. In other words, he realizes my job is not to convince one person. My job is to deliver the truth. And if someone does not want to have reasonable conversation, then maybe someone else will want to have a reasonable conversation. I'm okay with that. He doesn't see it as a failure that the Pharaoh is not hearing what he has to say. He doesn't see it that way. So when you and I have to say something that's truthful, if we're concerned with how impressed someone is going to be, or whether or not they're going to be convinced with what I have to say, we're looking at it the wrong way. That is not the way to look at it. The way to look at it is, am I saying the truth? Am I saying it in a dignified, respectful way? And if I am going to be met with dismissal, I can, just like they're dismissing what I'm saying, it's okay for me to dismiss that. And I can continue to have a conversation rationally and reasonably. Right? So you have, for example, in the world of social media, much of our communication now is on social media, right? So you have the world of comments, any content, anything. There's old Arab saying likulli khitab jawab, right? Every speech has a response. And now every speech has a million responses, right? And so responses come in all different types of categories, right? So there could be somebody who just loves everything you're saying. There could be somebody who absolutely hates everything you're saying. They don't even hear what you have to say. They already hate it, right? And then there are people who say, I heard what you have to say, but here's my criticism. I heard what you have to say, and I would add this. In other words, it's a thoughtful conversation. So what happens to the two, I love everything and I hate everything? That you have to recognize as something that is there. These people are perhaps even dismissing what you're actually saying. So it's okay, you can appreciate that and just let it be, but the actual conversation is happening with those who are capable of an actual conversation. And what is the telling feature of an actual conversation? That the truth is being spoken, argument is being made, but lines are never getting crossed. Name calling is never happening. Anger is not being used. You know, labels are not being put on somebody. We're capable of civil conversation. We're capable of civil disagreement. We're capable of intellectual arguments. It's okay for me to be on the opposite end from you on some issue, and we can have a normal conversation. And it might be that by the end of that conversation, I have changed my view. Or maybe you've changed your view. Or I've changed half my view and you've changed half of yours. That's completely fine. That can happen. That's normal exchange. But that requires a degree of confidence. When you and I become too quick to agree, and when you and I become too quick to disagree, you know what that shows? That shows a lack of confidence. We don't have the confidence in ourselves to say, I will hear what's being said carefully, and I'll process it, and then I'll give my response, right? Because we don't even have confidence in ourselves. And someone who's offended too quickly or angry too quickly, why are they so angry? Because they feel so safe inside their echo chamber. They feel so safe inside their little bubble that when they hear something that opposes it, they don't want to hear anymore. They don't want to learn any because, I can't handle that. I can't handle an intelligent conversation. It might challenge what I believe and I hold so dear. Right? So it's kind of a safety response. Again, a lack of confidence. Musa alayhi salam is there to hear out what the Fir'aun says. Actually, he listened to him carefully. To Fir'aun. He listened to him carefully. And the only time he dismissed him is when he saw dismissal from Fir'aun himself. Right? So these are important features of effective communication and of being able to deal with antagonistic situations in a way that is inspired by the Quran. In a way that will make us better communicators in every part of our life. Whether this is in family or in politics or at work, these principles apply across the board. This can be used for a governor. This can be used by somebody who's in a political campaign. This can be used for social and political activists. This can be used for you and your family because the principles apply across the board, right? And so I pray that Allah Azza wa Jalla empowers us to use these principles, to be mindful of them when we're communicating, and help us realize that when somebody's not actually engaged in that kind of civil conversation, that you don't have to waste your time, but you could stay on your point. You don't have to get distracted. So inshallah, we'll continue our conversation about what we can learn from Musa alayhi salam and this kind of positive psychology from him in our next khutbah. Barakallahu li wa lakum fil Qur'an al-Hakim wa nafa'ani wa iyaakum bil ayati wa dhikr al-Hakim. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على أفضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال الله عز وجل في كتابه الكريم بعد أن أقول أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. عباد الله رحمكم الله اتقوا الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. أقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت للمؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.